daughter to that.
I'm getting a letter together right to write to
my daughter does too.
8:45 on the clock.
I'm waiting.
Call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order. Recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, Thiemann. Consent agenda. General agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held April 1st, 2015. Approve all claims through April 15, 2015 in the amount of $447,983.09. Accept claim number 150-40161 to Beatrice Lawn Care, which will be voted on separately under the regular agenda. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve correction to claims audit amount approved at the 4-1-15 meeting to $987,852.11 from $987,802.11. Approve and place on file Gage County 2014 Annual Report on Livestock and Agricultural Development Activity. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report for the month of March 2015. And Register of Deeds fee report for the month of March 2015. Approve reappointing Delmer Gertis for another term on the Gage County Veterans Service Committee, term to expire July 2020. Approve specification and call for bids on two regular cab pickups for a road department. Bids to be opened on May 13, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. I'll just make one quick comment on that livestock report. That was part of what our county needs to do for when we approve being the livestock-friendly county. And Paul Hay did give us that report. He said he would file that report for us. That was one thing that needed to be done. Any other questions? If not, I need a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Byers, second by Jurgens. Vote. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Lennart.
Lennart Fritzen, Beatrice, Nebraska, 29813 South 120th Road. Oh, I've got a few issues here and there, and what I hear you guys talking about, that you have problems, and the one going to the fertilizer plant. You guys don't seem to be able to get the easements and what have you. And some of them want paid, and some of them, whatever all the issues are, I would say you guys just forget about them guys. And when they get the easement done, then let them come back to you, and then you'll negotiate for with them, as far as I'm concerned. But since that's on hold and what have you, I've got 3 miles over there that should have been done 30 years ago, you know, going to Liberty. So that wouldn't take much grading over there to get that done. And maybe we can get that accomplished while them guys is trying to negotiate for easements. And so if they want paid for everything and get improvement on the road, I don't go for that. Now, I already talked to Galen, but if them guys want paid and on that Liberty Road, I'm willing to give some ground and what have you. But if they want paid, you take a foot of my ground, and I want paid too. But I just kind of we already went over it. I mean, as far as that goes, what we going to what? So you guys get a little ground and what have you. But that issue, I mean, I was listening to it, and then I had another deal here that kind of bothered me, your security you're going to have down in the basement here. You got to go through a shoot for
screening station.
Yeah. I can't see that. I mean, you know, it's okay to have an officer, what have you. Upstairs in the courtroom, yes, you need a little bit more. But if I got to take my shoes off, I got steel in my back, and I can't get through it. I can't get through any airport. And if I want to go pay my taxes and have to take my shoes off and have steel in my body, I'm going to go to Ernie, and we're going to file discrimination charges. So I don't think that, you know, when you want to come in and pay, and there's a lot of steel boots, and if you got a vice grip in your pocket, you're not going to get through that, and you're going to have to spend what, $50,000 to get something like that accomplished on the thing?
I don't know the cost, but that proposal did get defeated.
So, it did get defeated, yes, but it was talked about, and I said, oh, boy.
No.
I don't know. So have you guys heard any more comments as far as getting the land valuation down where it belongs? It's been discriminated against the land for quite a few years already. Have there been any comments to you, any of you guys, as far as something might be accomplished?
In the legislature, you mean?
Yeah, right now, any of those proposals are in front of the legislature as far as any adjustments.
But to put lower the valuation to where they should be?
I know they had some proposals, but I have not been following it.
Yeah, I've been listening, but I haven't stayed up with it. And
yeah. Roy Baker would be a good one to visit with on that.
Yeah, but we got the wrong senator. He's just for one-track mind school, you know.
That's not correct, Lenhart, and he will listen to you on anything you have to say.
He'll listen, but he don't make the meetings. I've got a guy that contacted him and wondering how he comes if he went on the valuation meetings on tax purposes. He says, I didn't make any meetings. I've got a granddaughter that's will be graduating. She's pretty high up in the nursing. And they invited him to whatever meetings there was. He didn't show up for that meeting.
Sometimes that's impossible, depending on what else. I will talk to him, however, because he is very friendly and very open to help anyone that needs help, if it's legitimate. If it's not, then he'll tell you, too.
Well, that's good. That's what I like to hear.
So. I believe, John, you made a comment a week or two ago. You happened to be at the Capitol, and you stopped in there and visited with him, too.
I did stop into his office and introduce myself to his staff. And
Matt, weren't you at Ernie's office the other day, a couple weeks ago?
I have no interest in that gentleman. And I use the word
very. Well, I ain't got too much. I didn't want to talk too much here this morning. I mean, I just kind
of. Oh, no. But as far as valuation goes, that's.
I was just wondering about it. I know you guys, you're not responsible or what have you, but.
We visit about it from time to time here at the board.
Yeah, I heard that. And so. I think that about does it. And Galen, you think we can get together, or do I have to get paid for a foot of ground if he takes it?
I thought you was going to donate here, though.
What?
I thought you were going to donate yours.
Well, if them guys don't want to, and really, as far as the anhydrous, that's just seasonal. They got 7-to-1 tanks going on this road, 136 and 4. And as far as them guys going north out of Beatrice, I followed more of them already, and I went to Lincoln, and trucks, you go north there's nothing. And then they go right on through Beatrice, and they're not going to make that turn and go through all them stoplights and use that road going to the fertilizer plant. Not from 136. Do you think, Jurgen?
I just know the traffic counts show there's a lot of heavy traffic on that road.
On 136?
On the Hickory Road.
At seasonal.
At seasonal. I couldn't agree more. It'd be seasonal.
So, Yeah, I mean, I'd like to take a count on Liberty when the seasonal, when the trucks is really rolling there. I wonder how it compared. I know you guys done that a few years ago.
Well, I'll tell you, I think Gail and I discussed that, and we're going to put some traffic counters out again, and we'll know exactly where some of that traffic is and where it's going. So
yeah, there's quite a bit of going.
Counters are out on the Liberty Virginia Road right now.
The what?
The counters are out on the Virginia Liberty Road right now.
Oh.
Or they were yesterday anyway.
Oh, they was. Okay, you should have it when harvest run is. Kind of compare with fertilizer.
Yeah.
I don't want to take any more of you guys' time.
Thank you, Leonard. Any other? Thank you.
Yeah, if there's
any other comments from the public? If not, next item, approve or disapprove claim number 150-40161 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Incorporated, in the amount of $260.75.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Who approved? No. Denny, motion by Beyer, second by Juergens. Oh, Hill.
Or John
Hill. Sorry. Discussion?
Their hair is the same color. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
They both have a mustache.
This is pulled because of Eric.
Right.
Okay. Vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Committee reports. Building and grounds.
Staying on top of everything. You've noticed we're having a new water. Water fountain put in out there, and they're working on it this morning, and hopefully we'll be able to hear while we're having our meeting. But Dave, as usual, staying on top of everything, and nothing unusual at the present time.
Equalization.
Nothing.
The only other thing on buildings and ground, I heard a couple people ask about the lighting on the courthouse. JT got that all up, and it looks
blue
pretty
lighting.
Nice for autism. Just some people weren't sure why the courthouse was blue.
So if they would read the Beatrice Daily or the Lincoln Journal Star, they would know why that. Or listen to KWBE radio.
Beatrice.
Finance.
Several different things. One, late yesterday afternoon, I was contacted by somebody from the city regarding pictometry. Apparently, they're kicking that around, looking at doing that. And we had kiboshed that a couple years ago. And there was are you interested? And I said, well, I'd bring it forward. We basically quit talking about that, and it just went away. So I don't have any timeline. I don't know exactly what the city's doing, but apparently there's some informational meetings taking place someplace, and so I was contacted the same group doing that, and I said I don't have personally any interest, but I said I'd bring it forward.
That was several years ago. We did discuss that for quite a while because that was brought forward, and I think a lot of it was the cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd spread it out over 3 years or so many years, but it still was the cost. And
And that was one of the things he wanted to know, what the costs were. And I said, you know, I'd have to go back. I don't know. I think there was a one-time flyover, and then you could buy a package that had a second flyover. And I said, I just couldn't recall. But I just think the cost was such that we just weren't interested.
Yep.
And then the perception of Big Brother flying over, taking pictures, I don't think sat real well with a lot of people that I talked to. So.
Yeah, and equalization, I haven't heard anything out of the assessor's office relative to a need for anything at this point, so.
And I know Patty was in on those discussions when we had those earlier. Mm-hmm. We visited about those several meetings, so, and decided not to do it. Yeah.
I just want to make sure I threw that out there, so if there's any interest, you know, we can get back with them. Cleaning agreements, there was a question of whether or not we should go back and rebid those again. It's been a couple years. We've done those before. It looks like I've got one here that was back in 2008, one that's got a 2013 date, one that's got a 02 date. So should we go through and rebid some of those cleaning contracts for different folks? And they're apparent. Sorry, I was waiting.
No.
That wasn't a dramatic pause. That was supposed to be.
We can't close it. We're open meeting. Open. Yeah. Sorry. We're open meeting, yeah.
But I couldn't hear what contracts you're talking about, Matt.
These are cleaning contracts for the probation,
for the County Highway Department, probation, sheriff's office. I think that's...
We have, Don, I think, is going to look, because the sheriff's department bid theirs, but if Gus is here, he'd maybe remember. I don't remember when we rebid that.
That was just a couple of years ago, I think.
That was a couple of years ago. That's that 2013 one, probably?
Probably.
Yes, 2013. So that's been 2 years now that we've bid that, and there was no, it's just...
But we also have probation. We also
have... There was no end date.
We also have extension office.
We're not sure. I don't have an agreement on extension office. I don't know if they're doing it themselves with an agreement. I don't. So we probably need to include that if we're going to do that.
So I'll get Don to get people copies of these if you want to look at those and think about, you know, the next couple, maybe the next meeting or so, we can talk to the departments if we want to go back and rebid those for those folks. Copiers. Don has got information here on... four copiers. There appears to be one design that they that there seems to be consensus on, and so I had her pull numbers to compare purchase versus lease. And I won't say any numbers because in case we go out and want to bid these different, I don't want to divulge the prices that have actually come in. But there appears to be a financial benefit to going to a purchase and not leasing. You know, but there's also the things, you know, I don't know what the warranties are on some of those and the length and the service. So. You know, we've talked about trying to do something for those departments that make a lot of copies. So
you might check that out because I know when I got mine, the leasing was a better way to go.
Those are the prices that were shown for purchase or for lease for 60-month lease.
Just, two different prices. Bottom line, it was cheaper, and this I got a better product for the same thing.
So we'll, I can get Don to give folks copies of these. I just don't want to say them in public because if we were to do something. But we do have some preliminary numbers out there, so
but you're looking at multiple copiers.
Four apparently is on here for the different departments.
Yeah,
so.
Four.
So we can pass it around, and then the tourism agreement is up, and I know they'll be doing a presentation. But that agreement, that's a 2-year agreement, and I think that's due for renewal.
Yep, comes
here
up
as well.
June.
So that's all. Yes, sir.
I have a quick question. What are we doing for, I was talking to some people, I just got my taxes done. We're talking about auditing for the county. Are we using the state to audit instead of, do we bid that out or how do we work?
A couple of years ago, we had the state come in. It was, they approached us and said, hey, it's your turn. Mm-hmm. And they actually found some things that needed to be done a little bit differently. And, malicious or anything illegal, but we thought, you know, probably once every couple of years, that's probably good to go ahead and have them come down. Normally, we use Schultz and Associates, but
this is just kind of like a cycle through another set.
Well, I think
of eyes.
I think from a full disclosure standpoint, it's good to have these folks come down here, make sure that we're doing things right, because you know, especially in local government, you run into those. Well, this is the way we've always done it, type things, and sometimes people may diverge from what the law is supposed to be.
Don can update us. We have requested. The state will be doing it this year again. We have requested and signed an agreement with them already.
And
it was 4 years ago that we did it with the state.
Yeah.
Look more at the state statute. You know, not. You know, everybody's looking at the audit, the dollar figures and all that. Schultz did that, too. But I think the state looks at whether we're following the statute for government.
Is that something we're going to do maybe every 4 or 5 years, 3 years, kind of have them just kind of go through and review everything? And because I agree with you, it's probably not a bad idea to have another set of eyes like that.
I would say that when they came with, after they completed their audit and they sat down with us to go over the recommendations, some of the departments we visited with were pleasantly hostile, thinking that the county board had gone after them. And when we sat down and presented them, no, this is the state and the auditor, these are the recommendations, it softened a little bit because it said, oh, I didn't know I wasn't doing that right. So there was this automatic belief that we were witch hunting, and it was actually, no, we think this is a good thing. Let's come in and make sure our books are in order. So and again, it's nothing that Schultz wasn't doing, but it's just a different focus.
and the state did a very thorough job of checking to make sure you had contracts in place and stuff like that, or by state statute what you needed to do. I mean, that, that they looked at some of those areas or concentrated on some of those areas more than maybe a Schultz would or whatever, I guess, or another company would. And I don't remember, we had a list of maybe 20 things or something.
Yeah, they sat down with Finance Committee and just kind of went through everything.
Went through everything and explained.
Yeah, this was the divergence from where you should be, and here's how you. And there was a lot of the gray area. Like I said, I don't think there was no malice. There was nothing covert, but there were some definite differences of opinion from what the people locally were doing based on what the state felt needed to be done. So we worked on those.
Yeah. So, no, they will be doing our audit this year. The state will be again. No, that was part of what our discussion was, too, every so often, to have them come in and just look, give it a good look over.
And when the area is gray, to move a little bit, and so you just make sure that you have everything the way that it's supposed to be. Plus some.
Go ahead, Terry.
Well, I was just going to add something, Matt, to that. On the claims list, there was a payment of $45,717.50, and that was for the 2013 road bond interest payment. So, I just wanted to bring that out that it's there.
Then Matt's had some people contact him. I have two about our EMS agreements, and then you're going to send a letter out or whatever.
There was in the agreement they're supposed to turn in an annual report. And Beatrice, they put together just this really nice 10 or 15 page report. It talks about different runs. They always do a good job. And last year, I contacted them and said, well, what do you want in there? And we said, well, there isn't any specific format, but what information do you think would be valuable for the public to know since you're expending public funds? You know, what are your operations like? And they said, well, what do you mean? And so I said, well, basically they wanted us to direct them. And I said, well, that's not the intent, but okay. Well, I completely forgot about it. I had a half-written letter, and so Myron called me, and I think it was an uh-oh
Somebody
moment.
Called me. Yeah.
So I was driving through Princeton one time.
Oh!
So I went back and resurrected and had Don send me a copy of what Beatrice puts, and I just kind of bulleted about eight different, you know, put this type of stuff in there, and still left them a lot of levity to put in there what they think is important, but just some basic things. So I sent that letter out so that when they get their reports, they can send that in.
Yeah. Part of our EMS agreement with each of those cities is that they do supply an annual report to us, and that's basically.
And the delay was because I forgot.
We're glad in a way that they called. They reminded us, too, or whatever, because last year I was part of that as finance chairman, and I spaced it, too, until they.
I'm sure I was working on it, and the bird flew by, and I completely forgot.
So we thank them for calling and taking interest.
But the letter's out the door. So, yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Human resource. Law enforcement. Emergency management.
Okay, if you got one thing, because everything we discussed Monday is stuff we've rehashed, so I don't know that there's any reason to rehash again.
Yeah, just asked about the tower, about when possibly it could be inspected. Well, I got an email yesterday afternoon saying that they could possibly be here by the end of the week. So, pretty quick. Okay? That's all I really had.
Yeah.
Another legislative watch question, and I was hoping somebody from law enforcement would be here. Are we going to be able to make sense out of some of the legislation that's up there about changing some sentencing? And they're talking expanding probation and community-based. How is that going to affect us? The state's looking at saving money, but again, that'll fall back down here, and then we'll fall on the property tax roll if we have to increase spending. And in our county, 70% of that comes from the rural area. There's a lot of chatter now.
The members of the legislature are like this. There is no agreement to speak of on any of these kind of changes and what they're really trying to define it as. Do we need additional this or that? And so I'm not sure what we'll get, if anything, this year. But I haven't heard really any negatives from NACO relative to what could happen to us, and I don't know. Maybe at the meeting, tomorrow? maybe there'll be some comments relative to that, and maybe a question that can be asked on what they feel could happen. But I haven't heard any negatives for the counties yet.
Just it was in the news. Well, go ahead, Roger. In the news that Attorney General Peterson
came out very strong, and I think what's being done is unfortunately some politics being played at the expense of local people, and that's my opinion. Some of these people, unfortunately, the habitual criminals, I'll use as an example, and Peterson was talking about that. These are people who have been to prison twice and obviously didn't do the job it needs to do. So the third time, they get an automatic 10-year sentence added to their punishment. That's a pretty good deterrent. And the legislature, and I think this was Senator Chambers' bill, is lessening the crimes that you can get the habitual criminal charged for. That's going to have a decided effect. And, you know, I understand why the state's doing it, but I think from our standpoint as prosecutors, we want to make sure those people are taken off the streets. That's a specific deterrent. They're not going to be harming our community when they're not here. Sooner or later, they're going to get out. Hopefully, there's been some change in their lifestyle. But as far as probation, that's the new trend. We saw it with LB 561 and our juvenile situation. I'm sure they can show me statistics that it's working wonderfully. For somebody that works with the system, it's not. And we're still working with it. And we got good people down here that are helping us. But you do that on a statewide with adults, they'll be back in our communities. You know, you got a good point. They're already talking about the two-year thing, that if you get a two-year sentence out of district court, you may be doing that here in the detention centers in the counties. That would, you know, hopefully they would give enough lead time so that some of the smaller counties in particular can decide what they're going to do. I see a lot of interlocal agreements. Because quite frankly, you just cannot afford that in your smaller counties.
Well, some of our interlocal, I think we have two interlocal agreements. One of them with Saline is they'll take our, I want to say patients, but they'll take our prisoners as long as they have space. And then when they need the space, they kick us out. And so if we get behind the eight ball and then all of a sudden we don't have any space to put these folks, I don't want to awfulize or anything, but it's just all these things are going to be happening to us, and we're basically in the passenger seat. They're just going to affect us. I don't see us being able to be proactive to try and head any of this off.
Well, their sentencing is way past what we have capacity to handle. I mean, like 50% or more of the people that should be in jail supposedly that aren't because we don't have room for them. We don't have any jail cells, and that's all over the state. And it's incredible to me, as I watched over the weekend, some teachers somewhere who cheated on some exams, and they were put in prison, and then someone else who killed somebody's given probation. And I have some problem with some of those things.
Down in Georgia, well, the superintendent of the school's got 20 years.
Yeah.
Seven of them she has to serve in prison, and the rest of them are probation.
Incredible. Incredible.
Well,
we'll send Lenhart up there to take care of it.
Well, there was.
Him on down.
Well, there was a contact from Sarah Arena from probation as well. So about talk before budget. So okay. I need to make a contact with her. But I just think about that. You know, is that space which was significantly better than when they were in the courthouse? If the numbers increase, is that space no longer adequate? And that may be a year or two down the road. But I just. You know, it'll be pushed down. So I just didn't know. I listened to that and can't really make sense of that yet. So I didn't know where they're at on it, but it sounds like they're just fighting. So.
And as we look, as we go into next budget year, as we look at what we might want to do with our jail as far as the building is concerned, that is something for us to consider, too, as far as law enforcement, as far as us on the jail committee, to look at that and decide where we want to go. I don't know if Klaus was here, but he deserted.
No, that has been in the news, and I think it will continue to be in the news as works through the legislature.
When if you look, when we do our claims, what we spend in legal and law enforcement, and we separated that out years ago, you see that cost continuing to go up and up. And a lot of that is just
people just not playing by the rules. And so there's, you can plan for that, but now if there's another effect that comes outside, who knows where that could go.
Road and Bridge?
Yes, we approved specs, or Galen brought the specs on the two pickups. One's going to be one's a sign truck, one's a truck for the bridge crew. We've talked about this earlier. Both these vehicles are fairly high mileage and need to be replaced. Bids will be opened on May 13th. The grading crew installed two twin 72-inch culverts in E6 Claytonia. Billy Bridge is closed for right now to finish that project up. Hickory Road, we discussed that already. Galen made some contacts with Ron Jeffries concerning the gravel concerns that we have, not getting enough gravel time. He's going to try and step up and get a little more of this done. Weather permitting, I'm not going to say we're going to be caught up, but we hope to be a lot better shape than what we've been in the past few years. So I think that's going to help. Weight limits, we discussed that again. I think the consensus was we would leave it for till this fall and reevaluate before harvest, see how all the road conditions are and everything. And Galen, I guess now's the best time going into that is weight limits and roads and everything. Galen had visited with constructors about some of our concerns, and they came down. So maybe, Galen, it'd be easier for you to address what you did and what action we're going to take.
Okay. Last week, I got a call from Chris with constructors, and he's wanting to set up a time to come down and look at the asphalt roads. There was Adams Philly had some places that last fall didn't get patched because they had other commitments they had to make, and then the weather turned on us. So on Wednesday morning, Chris come down, and I was there, and Josh with Manili Wagner, and also Bob, our asphalt foreman, is along. So we looked at the segments on Adams Philly. It's where we started. There was probably 8 to 10, 12 areas that over the time last fall, most of them happened last fall, where the top lift had separated from the bottom lift. So we marked those areas, and once we got those marked, Chris had asked if we had time to go down and look at the Wymore to Liberty Road and also the PWF West. So we drove down and we drove the PWF. The only thing that was on that PWF, and it was in the last couple miles, there was a couple short stretches where I call them like a roller mark, where they kind of scuffed the surface of the road on that. And then after some discussion, we talked about they were going to bring down some oil and shoot down some oil and then use some, I believe it's Silicon sand. They were going to squeegee that into the surface of that road to try to seal that off to keep water out of it. And we're going to see how that long term, how that would work instead of going in there and milling the road up and starting over. Also, we went to Wymore Liberty. We drove that whole stretch. There was no new separations in that at all. In the stretch coming right out of the south out of the Wymore city limits, there, and they were in there last fall, there were some roller marks in there where it kind of scuffed the surface of the road, approximately 2 inches wide, and they kind of tore the surface anywhere approximately a quarter inch deep. So we discussed that and come to the conclusion we're going to try that there also, putting oil down and some sand down in there and squeegeeing it in to see if that will seal that up and keep water out. Also in that same stretch, when they rolled the two mats of asphalt, they normally, when they roll that on the center of the road, they'll roll it and it'll kind of overlap the first lane that they done. Well, there's some stretch on that where it didn't get overlapped, so that left a little crease down the center of the road, which would could hold some moisture. There was probably a half a dozen other places scattered on down through the first 5 miles when you, or 4 to 5 miles when you turn and go east to Liberty. So we're going to try the same thing there on that to see if we could get that sealed up so moisture wouldn't sit in that that crack through there. So last Friday they did come down. They got the patches done on Adams Philly. Monday they come down and they done a bunch of that putting oil down and sand down on the Wymore to Liberty stretch. They got a little bit left there to do on that yet, and then they got that little stretch over there on the PWF to do. So on that.
Okay. So anyway, thank. Anything else?
Well, no. We've had a lot of concerns about the Liberty Wymore Road or whatever, and they came down and drove this with Galen, and we had our crew there, our people, our engineer there, and they got to look at all that road, and I guess it came or showed up better than what we expected. Probably, you know, there weren't the cracks in there what we had a lot of concerns about, not saying what the road's like, but there was cracks in the Adams Philly blacktop, which we knew last fall.
Yeah.
And they patched those. So, but I mean, it did hold up better, at least this first part of the cycle of that road, than what we expected.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll just say that from my perspective on the board, yeah.
And I would agree with that. And I drove the Philly Adams Road last Wednesday night, and those creases were really open, almost to a finger width, multiple fingers.
They were
width.
Getting some of them a half inch wide, those creases on that Philly Road. And Friday they did got them all done on Friday. Yep. They did those patches.
Yep. The Wymore Liberty Road, I still have a lot of concerns in some of those low areas of some of the sides that seem to have settled. The pavement is intact, but you can obviously see that there's been some settling to the edges of, especially in the creek bottoms down there, that
I worry about
them long term.
We're still paying attention to that road and watching it, but I guess I didn't expect it to maybe come in the condition it is now, as good as it is now and stuff, just because of the concerns we had last year and stuff. And we're hoping that continues, that road stays in good shape, but we're also at the same time being aware of some of the issues we had when we were putting it down. And that's why we're probably watching that one a little closer. And I thank you guys for doing all that, Galen. You guys and Jeff and them are coming down. And even constructors, I thank them for coming down and looking at that. So,
well, that's a comment I want to make. You know, we're working with constructors here to correct some problems we had. And they've been good to work with to go ahead and finish up where we saw there were some problems, you know. So, anyway.
And part of this, when we went to closed session, we discussed some of this stuff, but also some financial stuff there. But part of it was we told Galen that we'd like to have him here today so that he could give a report of why and what we did in part of what we could report on in closed session and stuff, because we feel that we owe that to you guys and stuff. So thank you.
And that's basically it, road and bridge. Everything's going.
And if you'd like Jurgen's cell phone number, we'd like to give that out. So that we have problems with the roads.
Well, it's rain, hopefully.
You call Denny Byers or you call Terry Jurgen. So, yeah. No.
Myron, with that being said, could I be?
We'll handle it.
You bet. I think we're done. We'll handle it. The last time he said the roads were good was on Queeby there with Doug and stuff, and then we got quite a few phone calls that next week because then we had a storm. And it was just one of those things. I don't want that to happen again. So, anything else, road and bridge? Otherwise, move on. Glennis, N-Gage report.
Good morning, everyone. I guess it's quarterly report time. So I really appreciate, as I was looking around the room, how many of you are involved and stay in touch, and I really appreciate that. I think the one thing that we can do with economic development in this county is to work together, be collaborative, and anytime you guys have ideas, thoughts, you know, something for me to pay attention to, I really certainly appreciate it. And, you know, I do see you at different meetings, and that's good, so we can try to stay in touch on things. So, hey, and also thank you, thanks, Matt, too, for, joining our board as the county representative now, and that Myron, you guys made a position switch. I am trying to keep Myron on that email list so he sees information too. Thank you also for taking a look at the bylaw changes. We took several months to get through all of that, and actually the votes came in yesterday. We've got that all done and moving ahead, and we actually voted in two board members yesterday. James Lenners and Dennis Rosine were voted in to be our new board members on Engage. So they'll start with us at our meeting in May. You should have received a written report from me, and I wanted to point out to you the format of that. We did an update on our strategic plan, and I've got different color fonts. Did they receive copies, Don?
Well, I'm not sure if it got in their packets.
Oh, okay.
It
might still be over in our trays, but they're not here. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, if they were printed in color, as there's a blue font on there that we have six objectives, and we really went back through our prior plan, which was done almost 3 years ago now, and just did an update. We worked with Keith Ellis with Nebraska Public Power and Cheryl Brandenburg with Black Hills. They facilitated some of our strategic plan update, and then the board approved. And so you'll see a few tweaks with that, but you'll see blue font where we talk about the points of those various objectives. And then I included in red then the update from this last quarter. So you would have then the strategic plan in front of you and then notes along the side as to what we've done in regards to that plan. So it's always kind of there in front of you. So I would like, it'd be great for you guys to take a look at it and, again, feedback, questions, anything. I'm always, appreciative. The first objective is business retention and expansion, and that's an ongoing thing. In the quarter from January through March, I was very busy. I did meet with what I would consider prime employers. Prime employers oftentimes are your manufacturing, mostly your larger employer companies. I visited with 10 prime employers during that period of time. And also I wanted to make note that in January, I think it was, we started a manufacturing advisory group. So we've invited those folks in now, I think, just almost monthly we've had some contact with them. And I think they've been pretty appreciative of that. To find out what their issues are kind of together, a lot of them were, sort of thankful that they would have an opportunity to network and to learn, kind of what's up with their neighbor and those kinds of things. And, of course, a lot of, as I've mentioned before, workforce is really a number one issue when it comes to economic development. And so a lot of their concerns and their focus kind of turns towards that. So we have, in this last month, we took a group to Grand Island to visit the Career Pathways Institute that Grand Island put together. It was actually very business manufacturing driven. A lot of funds came in from companies to help that program. And it's a program particularly for juniors and seniors in high school, and they've got focus on construction. There's machining as a part of that, automotive, and then they also have an IT portion of that. We had several of our manufacturing folks attend, along with area educators. We had superintendents of schools. We had Brian with the ESU5, Laura with the chamber, Stan with the city. Attended that with us, and so that was a really good visit. And so, we're going to be following up and continue to try to work with the educators on, I think the whole thing is to help students and parents understand the opportunities of what some of these careers, what some of these companies here have to offer. So so we're working on that together, and I think that's really a good thing. So, and also, I think it's an opportune time. This next month, we've got a meeting planned with, set that date this week to have that group back in to again visit with Southeast Community College. We had Southeast Community College reps with us too at the Grand Island visit, but to visit with the new president, Dr. Illich, who is very interested in all of their campuses and their master plan, and they're working on that right now and very interested in feedback from companies and, folks here as to what the college can do more to help them. And again, that whole issue, it's a huge issue, really, the workforce issue. So, if we would attract a large employer, then what does that do to everybody else? So we've really got to have the people and we've got to have, the workforce to be able to handle that. So, and then new business attraction. I wanted to make mention that we do receive, of course, inquiries from the Department of Economic Development And one was, just looking here, one was one that we had, cold caller, that we had, you know, that kind of came our way through one of the other visits that I made. But a couple during this last quarter were inquiries from the state that we responded to. Haven't heard anything positive back on those. Then there was another one just right into April that was a good fit for one of our buildings here. And we'll, you know, haven't heard back on that yet. But it was an exciting one because I thought, wow, this is a good fit potentially. And then I am planning to visit. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Minneapolis for a meeting on Friday with the Community Venture Network and several of our colleagues or my colleagues around the southeast area have attended this, and it's usually a little bit smaller sort of startup companies, oftentimes, not always, but that are looking for more of a Midwest presence, and they'll do presentations, and so we'll get to hear about their companies and then kind of think about how they might fit in the scheme of things here. We had one company that sent out a request for proposals early so that we addressed that and sent that back to them last week. And then I've got another that I've got, it looks like it could be a really good fit for a building that we have here, so I've got another proposal ready. So when I'm there in Minneapolis, I'll, you know, have a chance to visit with them. So this is my first opportunity to do that. It happens three times a year. I know some of our folks in the area really embrace that. And so I'm anxious to learn more about that and you know, work on some of that attraction side of things. So that's coming up. All right. And then entrepreneurship, small business. Again, paying attention to small business. I had noted that we'd met with, in this last quarter, 9 new potential small business owners. Again, so if they have 1 or 2 employees, that's, you know, that could be significant. You've probably seen where Daryl Hurd has opened up the Wrench Man, which is an automotive repair shop down on, I think it's, if it's 2nd Street, maybe? Anyway, so we worked with him, and he's working on business plans still. You know, we talked through some financials, and I usually call in other resources. A lot of times work with Janelle with REAP, and so we met with them. And there's a couple others that I think are kind of exciting, and one's a business transition, we need to pay attention to those things, too, so that we don't have people just close their doors and walk away and we don't have these businesses. But one we're working on that hopefully, I think that should come to fruition, where someone will take over a business there, and then another kind of exciting, interesting one. So we do have those continuing to come in, and then we try to figure out what we can do for them. They're all usually at all different levels. You know, some folks are ready to go, and they just need a little bit of advice, and some need to kind of start from scratch and figure out, you know, where they're going from here. Along those lines, I have met with Steve Bors with Southeast Community College, and also Monica with REAP, who they do a lot of workshops and events, and good partners. And Steve is very interested in working, having more of a presence with Southeast Community College Entrepreneurship Center here. So we're looking at and trying to schedule some workshops that they do, and you know, again, use those partners in that way with entrepreneurship. We do have a May 5th marketing workshop. This again, Monica with REAP has, is paying for Dave Buchholz to be here in Beatrice and offering that workshop. I think it's a 4 to 6 time frame. And so we're promoting that, kind of hosting that. And he's a really good speaker, good fundamental marketing person. And I think it'd be great for any small business, you know, person to be able to make that. So I do want to mention, also, the housing study. I think we're talking about doing that again as we've met with businesses. We oftentimes heard a need of, well, you know, like let's say the biodiesel plant coming in. We heard oftentimes folks say, well, we had trouble finding places for people to live here, and so it kind of, you know, begged the question of what's really going on with our whole housing issue in the city and also in the county. And so we did send out requests for proposals and got a couple back, and we selected Hannah Keelan to work with Hannah Keelan. And so we're kind of moving on with them. At the same time, too, NYFA offers grant opportunities for housing studies. So hopefully we'll be applying for that grant along with Hannah Keelan. They'll be helping us with that. So hopefully we get half of that that housing study paid for. And again, I just want to remind you, it's not just for Beatrice, it's for the whole county. So again, as I go out and visit with the village boards, I'll be talking to them about that. And we will have a steering committee that I would like to have representatives from in some of the other communities as well on that. And again, if any, I was thinking as I was sitting here today, if any of you have a real interest in, you know, housing and that, you know, it'd be great if we could have one of you participate on our steering committee. So let me know, because we're just forming that group now. And we'd probably like to meet with them sometime in May, as we're, that application for NYFA won't go in until the end of June. I was hopeful that the housing study could get started right away, but NYFA switched their deadline for their grant apps until the end of June. It was supposed to be in March, and then they switched it to the end of June. So that kind of, that delays us, I guess. We can't sign a contract. We can't move forward with that housing study until we, you know, have approval on that grant. And, you know, it could be significant for them to pay half, so we kind of need to be patient and hopefully, you know, get
so,
that.
So the housing study will not start until after.
Yeah,
that.
So really it looks like it's probably not going to be concluded until the end of the year, because it takes about a 5-6 month period.
That was my question.
There'll be surveys, hopefully we get information as we go along that can be helpful, but yeah, the final study itself probably won't be done until the end of the year now. So, all right.
I think that's huge. I just want to make a comment. I know of in a church who's been looking for an associate pastor, and one of the recruiting things in a person who was interested in Beatrice was they couldn't find any kind of housing for their family, and so they said, no, we won't
be
coming.
Wow, okay. Yeah, we don't want that. We really want to make sure. And that's the whole people attraction type thing that we need to pay attention to. So
this is a huge issue.
Yeah, good. So, and hopefully from that we understand demand. We understand, there might be some grant opportunities. Once you have that study in place, there might be opportunities for SEEK funding and SEEK some incentives for some development to take place. So, and I've not been through one of those. I'll learn through the process too. So hopefully, it'll be good. And I guess I want to mention thanks for those of you that were able to attend the branding theme launch. I mean, Myron and Eric were there, and we're visiting with our boards about their feedback on that. And that's happening right now. We had the overall concept. Opportunities Live Here was a part of that, and then Stake Your Claim. And again, just if you've heard any comments or whatever, we're gathering that information now and like to see where we go with that. But I think it is a great opportunity for us to be working together with the city, the chamber, Main Street, the school. The school is the one that brought it, the Beatrice Public Schools brought it to us. And I think, I really believe that all of us working together is really a positive thing. And I look at the concept and look at that and think that this could easily be used across the county. Something that's inviting, and I would like to see if other communities could embrace that too. So, okay. I think with that, also included in your information, if you'll notice, where we worked quite a bit on evaluation measures and metrics. So you'll see a couple pages in your report that have to do with that. And each quarter I'll put in numbers, like I included, new jobs and investment. There was investment made for Dempster's to add some employers. So that was added on here. I talk about the numbers with open projects, the leads that we've addressed, what we would call, current open projects, and so on. So you'll see that. So you'll see some data that I've tried to gather. So each quarter I'll update that, and then that'll make sort of life easier at the end of the year as I go back and look at numbers and so on. So questions or thoughts for us at this point in time.
Yeah. I'll just comment that the metrics are something we talked about trying to come up with when we first put Engage together. How do we measure progress? How do we measure where we're at? How do we give feedback to the community? And so this is kind of first blush at, we may change those over a period of time. We might find out that there's only a certain number of those metrics that really are value driven, but I think it's an opportunity to see those and to look at those and come up with some idea. Mm-hmm. So the other thing was, I wanted to mention the membership and investment levels. That's something that is in the bylaws right now, and that has to do with funding levels and voting rights of a member at the member meeting. In the member meetings, there's certain things that they vote on. Nominations is one.
Andy will be giving copies to Roger of the proposed changes in this, and it has to do with funding levels. And the goal here is to create a involvement either at a personal level or at a business level that's at different funding levels, and to start to chip away at, I think, the goal that Smart Solutions talked about of trying to get private dollars invested in this and not just have economic development solely running on public money. So this is a modification to that. Mm-hmm. There'll be copies given to everybody to look at that, digest that, see what you think, and that bylaw change will be coming down the road. The city needs to visit about that as well, but I think that's something that wasn't there with the previous group. That's an interesting concept to get that buy-in from other stakeholders in the community, and again, mm-hmm. have partial funding be private versus all public.
And I look around at our peers in the area and across the state, actually, and it's amazing to see, Fall City and the investments, the private investments they have, and you know how people bought in, and they, you know, they believe that economic development. It's really important. You know, as most of them put it out there, the list. Just take a look at the list from York, which is a smaller community than we have, the list from Seward and so on. So we look at those, and I think we did a good job when we first set some things up with Engage, but there was some tweaking that needed to be done with those levels, and that's really what we did. We're just sort of adding those levels and making a few changes, and so that's part of our bylaws, so thanks for bringing that up. I wanted to mention also, thinking of the peers in the area, you know, it's kind of a new concept or an important concept, I guess, but we are also participating in a regional website. We work with the Lincoln Area Partnership, and that is a really important and valuable partnership. They pay like our membership for us to go to the Community Venture Network. I mean, that membership is, I don't know what it costs, but through our membership with LAD, that, you know, there's things that they pay for us to be involved in, but we just started on a regional website deal. So again, hopefully all working together, when there's opportunities, one of us, you know, if there's opportunities for new companies to come, you know, we could be the benefactor of that. So, okay, so thanks. Yep.
And just lastly, about the bylaw changes, we may be approaching bylaw change fatigue.
Yeah.
They're coming up. But remember, the agreement is, we're getting into the last year of that, and that agreement with Engage is due to be signed again in June, or it's up in June. And mm-hmm. so I think we have to continue to look at and realize it's a dynamic process. As the business environment changes, as the dynamics of the community change, we may be looking at that every so often. I don't think anyone's suggesting every 6 months we're changing a bylaw, but we haven't really done anything for 3 years with those. So a few changes there, but hopefully towards the end of that.
Okay. So thanks again for your support. Yeah.
This is a question about branding. I talked to the guys a little bit about that, and I don't know if to ask you or Angie or Laura, the thing is all these things go together. So what would you say, if the county wants to be involved with any branding, what would be the next step there? Just maybe review some of the...
Well, I think if you would all sort of agree with the concept statement and the approach that we're taking, it could be... I mean, I think I asked Don once if you guys had a logo... And it might be that this group that we're working with could figure out how the how a logo could be created for the county, and how that would also buy in, you know, with that concept. So that might be a potential way that the county could use it. But as I mentioned, I would like to be out there sort of promoting in a positive way for all of the communities to embrace this in some way, shape, or form. Again, they may not, but if we have a statement that they all, if they see it and it's, you know, broadly used, I would really encourage them to be a part of it, too.
So. Well, making it available and reaching out, say, hey, this isn't just Beatrice.
Right.
This is the county. This is all the communities. Mm-hmm. Reaching out is the important thing. Yeah. If they want to participate in some way, fine. But we've reached out to them and said, hey, this is important to everybody, and you are important to us.
So along with your help, I would be out there doing that. So, mm-hmm. Okay. Good question. Thanks. All right.
We need to move to place that report on file.
Sorry. Motion by Lytle, seconded by Tiemann, to place Glennis's Engage report on file.
Vote 6-0. Next, Angie Bruno with tourism report.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's the only thing Angie has to say today.
Nobody throw any tomatoes at me or anything. Please. Thank you for having me this morning. As Gary mentioned, there's more to my report than usual. I have accepted another position with Beatrice Health and Rehab as their marketing director. So my last day will be May 7th after our tourism awards. It's really a ploy to get more people to attend our awards reception, just to come say goodbye to me. I'm kidding. But anyway, I'm wondering if I printed the wrong copies for everybody. Let me see it. I printed the wrong copies of the director's report, and I don't know how I did that. I opened the wrong one. So I'm going to kind of just be a little bit more on the fly than I usually am, and I think you have the ones emailed with the current from January through March. So bear with me here. I'm sorry about that. Just seeing if you guys were paying attention to see if it said January or July on there. So January through March has been actually quite busy for me. January, I spent a lot of time writing grants. I wrote and received grants from the Nebraska Tourism Commission for marketing. I was pretty excited. I helped write the grant for the Southeast Nebraska Tourism Council as well as Gage County Tourism, and I received the full amount requested on both of those grants. So we're getting to do a lot more marketing for Gage County and Southeast Nebraska as a whole. For Gage County specifically, we get to place ads in American Road Magazine. We'll have a quarter page ad in print as well as an online component. I really like the online components of ads, so many more people are going digital when they're planning their destination travel. This American Road features around travel paths you can take that are off the beaten path. So with the Heritage Highway going through, it's a natural fit for us. We'll have the online component features a one-page getaway kind of thing. They have a page that's designed around getaways that you can go to. So you'll go to, it's AmericanRoadMagazine.com, and then you scroll down and find getaways, click on that, and then there's a list of the people who are participating. So there will be a picture. We're going to use one of Homestead National Monument of America, since that's our largest attraction that we have here and has the national draw to it. And then it'll have, there's a 50-word description, and then you can click to this guide, and then you open up a one-page PDF that they can print out and use. So I'm in the process of designing that one right now. We received funds to do advertising on KGOR out of Omaha on the radio from April through September. So we've got those ads should be started this week. Pandora Radio, we're also targeting the Omaha demographic. We have a lot of travelers that come from that area, so we're really trying to hit it hard and build that, and then we can branch out and expand to other markets as well. So we'll have radio ads April through September on both Pandora and KGOR. We're also doing an ad in the College World Series program. We're excited about that. In talking with Mark at Homestead, we hear a lot of people are, you know, in their downtime, we get attraction or visitors coming from the College World Series. So this way we can target them and maybe get even more of them that way. That's, I think, the majority of what we're doing for the ads for that. We're also going to be doing some updates to our website. It's about 3 years old now, I want to say. And so while it's good, we can always do better. So we're working on that. That kind of summarizes mostly the marketing thing. We are still continuing the ads in the Nebraska Life that the Visitor Improvement Funds helped support on that. We had also an ad in the Nebraska Travel Guide that's out now, the Southeast Nebraska Travel Guide that's out. We have placed an ad. It was with AAA Midwest Traveler Magazine, and that one's got the online component too. So I've been getting leads because if people click on our ad that's online through them, then they can fill in their name and their address and say, I want more information. I think I've sent out about 90 or 100 visitor guides over the last month from that, and it has another month through its cycle. So it's very exciting to, you know, because you always wonder, where's my ads going? Where, you know, am I actually getting any return on it? With the digital, we can actually track that, and they can tell me how many clicks we've had on our ads and things like that. So I think it's money well spent. It's that sticker shock when you go to pay the bills, but I think it's very well worth it. Other things we've done, in February, we hosted our hoopla basketball tournament. We had 70 teams. It was a little bit down this year. I think that's partly because Lincoln Supreme has a group, and they added in some extra tournaments that we weren't aware. One of them landed on our date. So we lost their six teams and one other Lincoln team. And then if we added those back in, that'd be about where we were last year for our teams. Revenue-wise, it's slightly down. Fortunately, not terribly much. I had sold a few extra sponsors and program ads compared to what we had done before. So that helped compensate for that. We're trying to get a wrap-up meeting scheduled so that we can get plans in the works for next year's event and talk about what worked, what didn't work. I don't know, did you hear anything about the tournament overall? Have any kids that played? So if you have any feedback, we'd love to hear it. I went out a couple weeks ago and put brochures out, since I have the Nebraska Travel Guides now in the Centec, and we have our Gage County Guide that's brand new that we got in January. So we went out. We have an intern working with us through the summer, and he and I spent about 2 or 3 hours driving around Beatrice to 24 different stops and put out guides. We want to get out into the counties as well, or to the communities. I know that we have places in Adams and Odell and Wymore that also have our guides out that we need to get restocked with the fresh information. I've been working on helping promote other events that are going on in the community. We put out on Facebook. We put it out on our events calendar at BeatriceChamber.com, which is also linked to visitbeatrice.com. So if people are looking for things to go do, we try and have the most comprehensive list that we can on that. Been working heavily on Homestead Days. That's coming up in the middle of June. The Homestead Days brochure is in its last proofing stage. That's always a relief when that one's checked off and off to print. Working on, let's see, there's so much. Trying to think what else we've done. Homestead Days is big. Centec, it's the Southeast Nebraska Travel Council. I think that's off to a great start. We have a new president this year, and she's got a lot of energy and drive. We just had a strategic planning session where we set some goals to help get the word out about traveling to Southeast Nebraska. There's a group over in the Western Panhandle area that's the Western Nebraska Coalition that started out as, I think, 12 counties. And now they're up to 24, so they've really expanded their presence for Western Nebraska. And we had a gal that came to our strategic planning and was talking about that, so that, you know, maybe we can take away some ideas that we can help establish Southeast Nebraska as a stronger region for travelers to come to. Heritage Highway 136, less exciting right now. We had some shakeup on the executive board as far as the president and the vice president and secretary. No, it was the president, secretary, and treasurer have all switched out. And in the process, there's been some, I think, maybe hard feelings, you could say, to say it nicely. And so the website is down right now, and we're working very hard to get heritagehighway136.com back up and running. So we had our meeting in Beatrice on Monday, and we talked extensively about that. We're working on getting some bids with companies who can help pick up, take all the information, because we fortunately have all the information on the disk, and they can just take the information and go live with it if we find the right company to work with us within our budgetary parameters. And hopefully we can find a company that has a soft spot for tourism and cut us a really good deal. That's what our goal is. Other things that are coming up for tourism, we'll be working on, as Matt mentioned earlier, the contract comes back due this. I think it expires at the end of June. And so we need to get that going. From what I've heard, it should be a smooth process to just update it and get it signed and continue on.
I talked to Jim recently, so.
Okay. So that's working on that. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Well, one thing you want to put on your in your bucket list is to make sure you get your desk cleaned out and everything packed up and ready to go. Because it'll just be here
list,
before
yeah.
you know
it. It will. But, you know, I have that running list. I want to get this done and help this done. And I was just telling Laura, I'm going to put together notes on what I've been doing and so that is.
Well, we're really glad we're keeping you in the community. And Homestead is a fantastic organization, and you will do a wonderful job. And so you've done a great job with the Chamber. We're very appreciative of that, and good luck in the future.
Yes, thank you. It'll when I leave, it'll be a month shy of 5.5 years. So it's not an easy decision to make, but sometimes you have to make those tough decisions. And
well, after you turn 18, you should move into another position.
Yeah, thank you.
just a comment on the program that Angie runs here. If you look in the claims list, $16,700 went to the Hannibal Park Improvement Project. And as you talk about the Hoopla program, that's very, very well run. I don't know whose brainchild that was years ago, but as a parent who travels all over Nebraska taking kids all kinds of different places on the weekends for sporting activities.
Been there and done that.
Youth tourism sucks a lot of money out of a parent's wallet and drops it into somebody else's community. And so that's, you know, I think the folks that are involved in the ballparks on the west side, and even, you know, Adams does a wonderful job. They've got a ballpark up there, and Beatrice does too. And so those are great places to spend money. And if, you know, sometimes we get kicked in the teeth a few times about the money we put or that we spend for those visitors' improvements. But if you speak to people at the state, they expect you to spend that money. That's not local money for the most part, unless someone stays in a hotel for whatever reason.
I need a week off from my family.
Yeah,
so I gotta
but
go
it's,
check
it's
in
money
the
that comes
in.
From the outside that we're spending, and the sole purpose is the promotion of tourism. I think we do a good job of getting that money out the door for viable programs. I can't think of there being any one place that we've ever put anything that we've ever that I've ever had a second thought of.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been something, and we do a lot for youth, which, again, that's a great place to spend money because they drag their parents all over the place.
I agree. Well, and even just with the Hannibal Improvements Project, Dennis Dodge had emailed me a couple weeks ago. There was a tournament that was canceled in Syracuse that we ended up picking up that weekend because their fields weren't playable, but ours were because of the improvements we've put onto them. Talking to Mark Pethod, there's a second one. I don't know if it was last weekend, I think, that, again, it was rescheduled to Beatrice because the other fields weren't playable. So, I mean, those people are coming. If they're here the whole weekend, they've got to stay somewhere. So they're jumping back into the hotel rooms, putting the money back into the fund. And it's more fun to spend someone else's money, I guess.
I'm going to pick a sandwich up someplace between 11 and 1. Make sure there's not a tournament going on because it's going to take an hour to get it.
Right. Call ahead with your order.
Where's that?
On that note, the lodging tax funds through the end of January, we've had several months that were down. So overall, we're down 28% for the year, for the fiscal year. But last month in January, we were up 14%, which I think is great because January is usually a slower month. So maybe we're going to be on an upswing now. And we are concerned a little bit. Koch Nitrogen, they have their plant shut down and they have a lot of workers, which you would think is great because they're in the hotels. But if they have the room booked for 30 days or more, they don't have to pay that lodging tax. So it could be actually not a good thing for us on the lodging end of things. For the local economy, they're still here. They're still shopping and they're still spending money at restaurants and things like that. So unfortunately, our dollars in this fund may be down, but may be up elsewhere. So
this might be tough without text in front of you, but your commercials on the radio and stuff, what are those promoting primarily?
We're trying to hit on a little bit of everything in that 30 seconds that you have. So we talk about homes. Our tagline right now is Find Beatrice, Find Gage County. And I need to get you copies of the Gage County Guide because it's the themes carried out throughout it. So I have find your taste buds, find your events, find, and I carried it all the way through. So we're talking about find Beatrice, find Gage County, and located just 40 minutes south of Lincoln, so it helps identify where it is. And then we talk about Homestead National Monument of America, and we talk about, we also have highly rated golf courses, we have attractions, we have all these different things. So I'll get that emailed out to you guys. I actually wrote on my notes that before I go, May 7th, don't throw anything at me, I want to email you copies of all the ads that we've placed and copies of that text so then you can have a feel for what we've been doing too. So I'm sorry I didn't bring them with me today. I didn't even bring the right report. So
Don said that they're going to print it off and bring it over for us.
Okay.
You can go through it all over again.
Okay. See what I missed on there? I'm sure there's a few things.
You must have a lot on your mind or something, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That running list, okay, I've got to get this done, and I've got to do this before I leave, and
yeah.
I want it to be as smooth as possible. So.
Thank you very much for your time that you put in down there and all the help you've done. And good or bad, the fun there has built up quite a bit, because I can remember 4 years ago when I first came on that, or was when I was on that board, that at one time we were worried about getting the funds too low.
Right.
Out there.
And we have, for the fiscal year, budgeted up to $100,000, and you'll see that we've only spent not that much, about $21,000, $22,000 of that. So we do have, it says, I don't know, my math is right on there, but about 20.
I guess we need more grant applications or
we do.
Interest. You know,
I've heard from Mark Pifod that they're working on their project out at the West Ball Fields, and he was going to try and get me a grant application in the next couple of weeks. So that's
some of these projects that have been done around the community, the county. I remember the Veterans Park down here, some of the funding for that. They've really, really helped out and stuff and make the city look a lot better, the county look a lot better. And
well, and it's something people will travel to go see. If they know Grandpa or Grandma's name, it might be on that. They'll come see it and see what else we have while they're here.
Right. So don't listen to Pifod if he said West Ball Fields, because those are east, and the West Ball Fields are over here. Okay.
Well, okay, I'm already directionally challenged, so don't mess me up on this.
I noticed you said west.
Yeah, she said west. Any more questions or...
The only thing I got to say is that Angie's, in the short time that she's been the director, she's taken it and kind of ran with it, put her own spin on it, and really done an excellent job. She's put some energy into the tourism, and it's been really refreshing.
And so. I trust with Laura's background in tourism, and she has a strong passion for it, that she'll work hard to find the right person to fill the position, that the person's got to have a passion for it and understand and be able to commit to the...
All right. We need one of each.
All this.
There you go. She's got them split out. Thank you very much,
Basketball, yes,
you
thank
you. You see something else on there you'd like to talk
about? I was just going
to
glance through really quick. I think I hit on all the high notes, and if you have questions as you look through it, definitely give me a call. I'm not leaving town, so you can hunt me down. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Angie.
Thank you.
Make a motion to place on file the report that Angie just gave us.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann to place the tourism report on file. Vote 6-0. Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove 2007 Chrysler van from Twin Rivers in the amount of $6,644.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Byers. Discussion?
This is a van that is at Twin Rivers. It was Rosie's van, actually. She traded that in on something else. And then the current van that we have that we use for the county has 100 and... Swallow.
Excuse me. What was that now?
Current mileage is 178,000. That was a hand-me-down van that we got from the sheriff's office that they used to transport prisoners. And we had switched the tan van and give that to them, and then we took the older van. So it's old.
Doesn't need air conditioning.
Just broke in, as far as I'm concerned, with 180,000. But
yeah.
What's this van used for?
This is when people go to conferences or meetings. It's only the only one we really have. And the price on it, $6,600, 52,000 miles. This thing could run 8-9 years. The only real mileage got put on the other van is when we turned it over to the sheriff's office to transport prisoners. They rack up quite a bit of miles on those. So it might be a situation. It could be another hand down the road, but it seemed like a pretty good deal to move forward. The goal, I think, later on was to surplus the current van, but just this morning, maybe we're thinking we'll hold on to it a little bit and just see.
It's not taking up any space. Maybe there's a, it's not really worth that much, and there's a reason we're getting rid of it, or the reason we're replacing it. And so I don't know what the value would be unless. So it's just not going to be worth a whole lot. So we talked in finance committee. We thought for that amount, for 52,000 miles, again, it's a used, it's a 2007. We believe it's been well maintained. We know the previous owner.
It does have, she just put new tires on and a brand new battery.
New tires, new battery. There was an extended warranty offered, and we felt that with the cost of the vehicle, that's on the second page there, you'll see, you know, $1,200. And, you know, I guess that if we went up to 3 years, it would be about $1,500. And we thought, based on the knowledge of the previous owner, you know, for that amount of money, even though it's still $6,600, we thought it would be a good purchase. So our recommendation for the finance committee was go ahead and purchase that, which is why I made the motion.
Yeah, and this van, I know there's been some concern at times from some of the county employees about going a great distance with the current van just because of unsure about the reliability of it and stuff. So that, and I believe Denny made a comment even at the last meeting about our current van or whatever. And when this van did become available and found out about the history of the van, that was when we started the discussion amongst
this is a good purchase, a good piece of property, and something I think we can purchase without any question whatsoever. Feel very comfortable with it.
And we weren't looking for it, just kind of showed up. It is, and it's in, you know, anybody in the county can use it, you know. But you can't take it storm chasing with hail. But really, anybody else could use the van. That's what it's there for. And I know several years ago, there was an encouragement to, if the van was there, to use the van and not turn in additional mileage for a personal vehicle. And I've driven to conferences with a full van. I've taken it by myself at times. And so it is there to be used.
That's the one you take home usually, though? I'm trying to picture which one.
Just on Friday night. Friday. I bring it back on Mondays. But I'm going to a basketball tournament. That's not. He started that. That's not taking place.
You recorded that, Doug?
That was a bad joke, Eric. But in all seriousness, I think it's a good deal, and it's there to be used. And I think we would encourage people to use that as opposed to their own vehicle. So.
Any more discussion? Vote 6-0 with Juergens absent. Next, we do have up there, I guess, on we have a discussion that approve or disapprove surplus van and to call for bids. The bids to be opened on April 29th at 9:15. So
I would say that we take no action if that's okay with you at this time. We can always bring it back.
Is
there any reason or any problem with just going ahead and seeing what kind of bids we come in for it? I mean, what's really the – it sits around here a lot the way it is now. If we have another one that comes in, it's going to sit more. It's going to have more problems from sitting and not being used. I just don't see a reason to keep it around.
What's your reason to keep it?
I asked Davey, I said, is this going to turn into another car that sat out at the extension office that was a home for critters? You know, he didn't think it was an issue, but...
Is that something he could use even for running around, or...?
That was a comment that I brought up, I guess, to the couple of guys this morning as we got to thinking at election time. We actually rented or used Rosie's van and paid her mileage to haul them, like my auto marks and things around it, because if it's wet, they can't be put in the back of the pickup. So that was a suggestion. So it doesn't matter. It was just I thought, well, if we can't get much out of it, maybe it would be worth as a covered truck type thing, you know, just to haul locally right around here. So it can go either way. I mean, it was just a thought.
I'm indifferent. This morning, she thought, well, should we save it? We can always come back in 2 weeks to surplus.
If there's a use for it other than the elections, I can maybe see it, but...
Well, and I don't know. I didn't really have a chance to talk to Dave a whole lot to see either, so whatever you
the
want
The mileage
to
paid out to Rosie's probably about what the van's worth, so, you know, realistically, there's not going to be much money coming in, so keeping it probably won't... We're not going to lose a lot by keeping it.
Demolition derby on Homestead.
Yeah, there you go.
Trailer races.
Drink and drive.
Trailer races.
Oh my gosh, I heard that.
So we don't want to put it out for bids, or we want to put it out for bids and then decide after we see what the bids are.
think about it for a couple weeks, I guess.
Okay,
we kind of put it on
let's
there.
Just hold it for a couple of weeks.
We'll delay that for a couple of weeks, and then maybe we'll see if we, in committee meetings, we'll have the discussion on this van again in committee meetings in 2 weeks, and then we'll see if we want to put it on there for putting out for bids at that time.
Davey said it's not going to hurt anything to sit where it's sitting, but.
Approve or disapprove?
I think Lenhart has something
to
offer.
We need to vote.
Yeah,
okay.
Can the taxpayer rent that to go golfing too?
We need to vote. Only to play cards at the sheriff's station.
Yeah.
We're just taking no action.
We're taking no action on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we need to? No. Do we need to approve or disapprove? No.
Sorry.
We'll take no action on the van bid. Approve or disapprove MOU agreement between Nebraska Regional Interoperability Network, Gage County, Nebraska, and the Village of Pickerel, Nebraska, to allow up to 2 microwave dishes and equipment on the village's water tower.
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Lytle, second by Bauman. Discussion.
It's just we'll finish what our kind of link is to this whole entrance system. Then they'll be getting busy on that, getting those all installed. So we should be finished with our part of that whole project.
Part of the county.
Mm-hmm. If I can get that signed and take to my chairman to the region today, get it going. Anything else?
Did Roger have a chance to look at
that? Yeah, I looked at it.
The same as the one that we had with...
Basically, it's a 10-year contract. Notify NERMA their equipment's going to be up there, so
right.
We're covered with liability in case right. One of them falls off and hits somebody.
Right.
Okay. Any more discussion?
That's liability.
Vote.
Casualty in the
6-0.
There you go, Tim.
She needs a copy of it.
Pat O'Brien's going to come in and prior to that talk to the group, kind of give you an idea of what to expect.
Yes.
We'll be in executive session.
Do you guys hear that?
Yeah.
Anything else for the cause?
I'll just see if you need to know.
Thanks for the input, Gary.
May 16th is oral argument up in Omaha for Beatrice.
Beatrice 6 with 8th Circuit Court of Appeal. We did receive notification that that's the day that we heard in Omaha.
Okay.
So, May 16th. Just so everybody knows. And then Pat O'Brien was planning on coming down and updating us a little bit at some meeting before then, So.
Probably be the next one then, wouldn't it?
Hopefully, yeah. So, anything else? If not, we'll adjourn at 10, 12 after 10.